Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 150. And Zoe, what have you got planned for today?
I have a lovely musician.
Really?
Yes. Ben Calvert and the Swifts.
So that is our party music.
Yes.
That's on the way. We'll listen to that in a bit. Oh, hang on. What's I think about it? I've got a bag here with your Easter egg in it.
Oh, lovely. And
there we go.
I remembered to put you a stick of rock
this,
in my bag.
This is, it's taken us ages to this. I'll catch.
Oh.
There we go.
There is a warning on there for children.
Gift
which you
exchange.
Might want to hear.
A gift from Wales. Small striped rock. And there's a warning.
Yes, on the bottom, where all the E numbers are.
Oh, may have an adverse effect on activity and attention in children.
Yes, you might want to be careful.
I won't,
Jason.
I won't eat it before the show is out today, but there we go.
Right, I love cream eggs.
You
well.
Okay, calm
Thank
down.
You.
It's a cream egg. That, you've seen
I
one before.
I that as we go through the show.
Yes. Oh, it's going to be a mess everywhere again. Right, coming up on the programme today, we'll be hearing about an auction of 20th century football memorabilia a little bit later on. Tom Waldron joins us from Cuttlestone's auction rooms in Wolverhampton.
We're also going to be having a look at a artist showcase that's going to be coming to Wolverhampton as well.
I think you'll find it's an artist showcase because it's a vowel at the start of the word. But yes, we'll be hearing from Moya Lloyd at Wolverhampton
Edu. You put me on the spot, Jason.
Yeah, I know. I expected sentences and everything. We'll be hearing from Moya Lloyd from Wolverhampton Adult Education Service on that a little bit later on.
To that.
You're looking for
yes.
Yeah, okay. But first of all, we've got the man behind the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy radio show theatre thing. Is probably the best way I can describe it. Dirt Mags, hello.
Hello, hello, Jason. Hello, Zoe.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
it's
hello, more of a tour than a thing.
It's a big thing, then possibly.
Ish, yeah.
Massive thing.
Pretty big.
Have you not heard of the Hitchhiker's Guide to
the Galaxy? Well, you know I have, because we've talked about it when we talked about the guys from ZZ9, and I am going, already bought tickets for the Llandudno episode,
excellent.
I suppose, as it were. But, okay, you explain how big it is, then.
Well, we're going to about 23 venues, and it's about 30-odd dates. We were trying to do 42, but it meant we had no days off, so we're not going to do that. And we go up and down the country, basically. We go to, we start in Glasgow, and we work our way down to Newcastle, and then where do we go after Newcastle? We do Basingstoke, Woking, Southampton, Brighton, Bromley, back up to Cambridge, Southend, Liverpool, Llandudno, Cardiff, St David's Hall, and we go, and eventually, we end up in Hackney briefly. We have a Hackney London, our only London show is in Hackney, in the Hackney Empire, and then we end up back in Edinburgh at the end of the tour. So it's a big old sweep round the country.
The bit that intrigued me, I don't know whether this is happening, but if people come along and watch the radio show being produced, can they then buy a copy of that radio show?
That's what we hope to do.
Still a plan, that's good, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, because it's kind of, Hitchhikers is anything but a Trojan horse, but if there's any Trojan horse aspect to it, is to actually remind people how fabulous radio is as a medium. And the great thing is you can come and see the show and watch it all made and take part, because the audience, you know, obviously have to join in. They have to become various parts of the show themselves.
Right.
The restaurant at the end of the universe can't be empty of customers. So it's that kind of thing. And then when you've seen the show, you've watched it made, you've seen all the silly sound effects, you've not got drenched in pan-galactic gargle blaster, because the front three rows in any theatre are kind of a splash zone, I think, for some of the sound effects we're doing. then you can go home, and hopefully in about 24 hours after you've seen the show, if you get a little dongle with a code on it, you can get yourself a recording of the show you've seen, and you can then experience it in your mind the way you would if you were a listener and it was on the air on the radio. And of course, that's
good.
A completely different experience, because then, you know, your mind is the best kind of special effects, visual effects machine in the world, and of course then you experience it in this amazing other thing, which is what goes on in your brain. And of course the one thing that pictures can't do that radio can do is create pictures with your brain, which is a fantastic thing.
And this is something you have done before with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, because you were the man at the helm for the tertiary and quandary and quintessential phases. I think I've got that right.
Yes, I was. Yes, Douglas, years before, Douglas got in touch because he heard I did Superman for Radio 4. That was in the days when Radio 4 did stuff like Superman. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. And Douglas heard it and liked what I did. Very noisy. Lots of sound effects and so on. And I got a phone call from my boss in Radio Light Entertainment asking if I was interested in meeting Douglas Adams because he thought I was the guy to produce the rest of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So, as you can imagine, I immediately said, I'm washing my hair and I can't be bothered to get out of bed. No, I was round at his house before the phone call had finished. And Douglas was very nice and said, would I do it? And I said, I'd absolutely love to. And, of course, the horrible tragedy was it took nearly 15 years to make it to actually do the shows, and by which time, of course, Douglas had passed on, which is really horrible and very upsetting, and we still miss him to this day. However, we do joke that if Douglas had actually lived long enough for us to do the show, we probably still would be editing it with him being Douglas. But yeah, so it was kind of bittersweet, and I don't feel I have any, you know, sort of God-given sort of right to speak on Douglas's behalf. I can't do that. But what I can do is try and keep his work alive. And this is very much part of that. And Simon Jones, who plays Arthur Dent, the lead character, the original, who the part was written for, according to Douglas, and I, we were recording the last series, the quintessential phase, and saying to each other after one very, very noisy, silly scene where everybody was throwing themselves around the studio, it's really a shame that we're not doing this in front of an audience because it's almost a crime not to share it. And that's where the idea came from. And it's taken a little while, but we finally managed to do it. And we're very excited about it. It will be lots of fun.
I have to admit, I am naturally excited about coming to see it, which is unusual for me. But you've got to live up to the expectations now.
Well, I hope so. I mean, there's lots going on. I mean, it is a radio-style performance. We are reading off scripts to microphones, but the thing is that, as in a real radio audience show, there's so much more going on that you don't see unless you're actually in the room. And the beauty of it is, we have sound effects that are happening live. Well, no doubt the cast will be ad-libbing. They usually do. One of the things that seemed to be a problem that's actually turned into an advantage is Stephen Moore rang me. This is last summer, just as I was heading off on holiday, rang to say, I'm really sorry, Dirk, but I've just signed a contract to be an Oliver all next year on tour, so I won't be able to be in the show. And of course, Stephen plays Marvin, the paranoid android, who's a very funny character, mm-hmm. and he's the original voice of Marvin. And I have to say, for a minute, I thought, wow, we're sunk. And then I thought, well, hang on a mo, this is the only character who's not actually a human being. I guess we're just going to have to build a Marvin and get Stephen to voice the character through whatever we build. And so Marvin, actually, we have a brand new radio Marvin in the show who will have Stephen's voice, but is actually, he's a robot. He's a puppet robot. He doesn't move quite under his own steam. He has an operator.
Assistant.
An assistant. That's very well put. Absolutely.
Standing
helper.
Behind him.
Yes, exactly.
Arms.
You're quite right.
Just checking on them. That's all he's there for.
Yeah, yes. just helping hold him up at the back. But actually, we're very excited about Marvin. We think he's going to be a bit of a hit. And we've been very torn about whether to reveal him before we do the tour. And we're not going to. He's only going to be revealed when we start the tour, but he's actually probably the most perfect radio Marvin there could be. But I can't say any more because I mustn't give anything away.
Okay, I'm intrigued now because he's either going to go one way or the other. So
that's true. Actually, and we've got another robot as well in the second half, because the first half of the show is the first kind of two series, if you like. I mean, very, very, very
heavily edited, critical. I'm guessing, yeah?
Yeah, pretty heavily edited. That's right, Jason. But there's some of... we go back to Milloway's, the restaurant at the end of the universe in the second act, but there is quite a long section of the second act which actually is... Which is is stuff from the other three books, from the last three series, but quite a lot of stuff that people aren't familiar with, which Douglas did, which is just fantastic and very funny. And one of the characters in that is called Colin the Security Robot.
Uh-huh.
And Colin the Security Robot is also going to be in the show. So we've got two robots. So, what more could you want?
Very
two
exciting.
Robots.
I just want to see him captured by a towel now, based on that. But there
come and see the show. Well, I know you're going to come and see the show.
I will be there.
Yeah, well, there you are.
The other thing that I was quite hoping for, and obviously with Stephen Moore not around for the actual performances, might limit it a bit, are there any mattresses involved? Because he voiced the flubbering mattresses as well, I think, didn't he?
No, that was Andy Roberts. No, how was that? Andy. That was an Andy.
Someone called Andy, right.
Yes, that wasn't actually him. But Stephen, sadly, as usual, his diary is full to about 2018. If we tour again, he's on a promise to come and join us. But no, Stephen isn't coming. But we do have lots of great guest voices. We've got Billy Boyd from Lord of the Rings in our Glasgow show, and we've got Neil Gaiman, the amazing comic books and novel writer, Stardust, Coraline, stuff like that. He's our Edinburgh voice. All these people are linked with Douglas in some way. Billy played Richard Macduff in our production of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency on Radio 4,
mm-hmm.
The only production of Dirk Gently to be drawn directly from the original books, I should add.
I did notice that on the telly, actually. Yes.
Yeah, but let's not dwell on that. We also have just heard Phil Jupitus is joining us for some dates.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is for the voice of the book, because another one who's sadly not with us is Peter Jones.
Yeah, sadly, neither Peter nor William Franklin,
mm-hmm.
who played it later, know. So we are having to find other people. But what we thought was it would be lovely to get people either connected with Douglas or connected with Hitchhikers or connected with science fiction. And we've got some super names. John Lloyd. Douglas's collaborator and the producer of QI,
mm-hmm.
will be the voice of the book in for our Cambridge shows, and so on. There's more names coming, and it's a very exciting list.
I want to know who's landed now.
I spoke to the person I'm hoping is landed.
Oh, not confirmed
landed today. But I cannot tell you right now because we have yet to sign the pieces of paper.
Suspense.
But it is someone you will be very pleased to see do it.
Okay, all right.
That's got you excited now, hasn't it, Jason?
I now have your email address. I'm going to stalk you for that. There we go.
Good luck.
All right. So, no, the other reason for getting you on today is because the audience can take part in not only the background noises, but also potentially some of the writing as well.
Yes, bless them. There's nothing quite like audience participation. And this is nothing like audience participation. Here's the thing, and obviously this is top secret, so please don't tell anybody. Simon said to me, after we did a sort of, if you like, a rough run of the show at the Royal Festival Hall a couple of years ago, and it was really fun and everything. Simon came off stage and he said, "If I never have to do that Vogon poetry scene again, I'll be happy." Because he's heard it so many times, "Ode to a small green lump of putty in my armpit," or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
the Vogon jolts me. And I said, "Well, I'm, sorry, but what else can we do?" Anyway, we were chatting, and it's sort of, in conversation, I said, "Well, what happens if we were to have a different Vogon poem every night? A really bad one, so that your expostulations of agony were genuinely felt rather than simulated through having heard the same one over and over again." And he said, "That's a great idea." And we've had a chat about it. And so we have actually started a competition, and it's on our Facebook page, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy radio show page, where we are encouraging people to enter the competition by writing the worst poetry possible. And only the very, very worst examples will be used in the show, live on stage. And the winners will get tickets to the shows. Uh-huh. They will get a pair of tickets to the shows. The only thing I would say is that a good chance of winning would be to keep it fairly short, because there's a lot in the show, and we've had one this afternoon came in at 84 verses.
Oh dear.
That's not really gonna get through. So something that's more like a limerick length would be just about what we're after. Mm. Because if it was funny as well as being bad, then we get an extra laugh in the show, which can't be a bad thing either. So, yeah, so basically, if anyone listening wants to enter, it's on the Facebook page for Hitchhikers Live. And we'd really, you know, really love to, you know, to get as much as possible to save Simon and Jeff going mad hearing the same old things over and over again. And the Facebook page, by the way, is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Radio Show Live. That's our page. And it's all there. And I should think it'll probably be on our website as well, which is www.hitchhikerslive.com. Hitchhikers Live, all one word, no apostrophes, no gaps.
And you've got a fairly simple email address for it, because this, strangely enough, hadn't been taken from the plethora of email addresses that are available on Gmail and on Google, and it's Vogue on Poetry Competition. No one had thought to have that yet.
Well, no, there you go, you see. Yeah, exactly, who'd want it? Yeah, quite right.
But do you need to know what's before and what's after the bit that you're making up, if you see what I mean?
Well, if you know Hitchhikers, it's actually a scene where Arthur Dent and Ford are being read Vogue on Poetry as a kind of torture before they're thrown off the Vogue on ship. And so it's a scene where they're actually being read this horrible poetry, and it's meant to make them suffer. So it's no use writing something that's got anything vaguely nice in it. It really needs to make both the actors on stage and the audience in the theatre suffer. If people aren't suffering in that theatre, then you've fallen down on the job.
And are there any good Vogue on swear words that could be included at this point?
I'm sure that they will be invented. What we need is a lot of invention. We don't want to read the usual old Moon June stuff. We want some proper, absolutely ridiculous invented words that somehow rhyme. But
I think I'm
badly
good at inventing words, aren't I, Jason?
Well, you're probably quite poor at poetry as well, so this,
well, yes,
this,
well,
could work
this
out.
Is for me.
Well, come on, Zoe, get going. You can bang something out. Go on.
Dirk, been absolutely brilliant talking to you. Good luck with finding your piece of poor poetry for the Vogue on captain to share with poor old Arthur and Ford.
Long-suffering actors.
Yes,
yeah, I will.
Yeah, so that's, you know, fingers crossed you find something that is going to torture them even more than the original, to be fair. But the tour is on. What's the first date?
We open the 8th of June in Glasgow.
It's a matter of moments away now, it seems.
Oh, it's screaming up over the horizon. I really must press my trousers.
There's an image we didn't need. Dirk, once again, thank you for joining us, and have a great show, and I shall look forward to the Land of No episode.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Zoe.
Cheers. Drive for now.
Bye.
All bad.
In the code of vernacular, I'm gonna do you where your boyfriend can't reach. In the streets around the hare and hounds, I'm walking back home with you and me. La 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 la. Is that as rude as I think it is? You took a picture of it going in all the pictures on your camera phone.
Talbot and the Swifts. Everybody Loves Lucy. Our first tune from the man who joins us now on the phone. Hello, sir.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just dandy. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. So what's going on then? Because you've got a single release coming up in May, haven't you?
I have, yes. It's the second single taken from the album. It's called Valpolicella Girl, and that's going to be released on the 14th of May on Bohemian Jukebox Recordings.
We'll hear that a little bit later on, but fill us in a bit of info first. First of all, the album. What's that called?
The album's called Festive Road.
And how did this one come about?
It's been kind of in the pipeline for about 5 years, and it was interrupted by another album that we did. But it's very important to get this one right, so there's lots of strings that were recorded at Bob Lamb's studio, who work with people like UB40 and Ocean Colour Scene. And generally, I kind of wrote all the demos for it, and then some of them made it to the final stage and some of them didn't. That's the story behind Festive Road, the album that's taken 5 years to put together.
Do you find you throw a lot of stuff away then, just because you're not happy singing it?
There are some songs that you write. Somebody said, what do you reckon the success rate is of songs that actually make out into the public domain out of the ones that you write? It's a pretty good hit rate. It's probably about 75%, I reckon. But yeah, there were just some, obviously 5 years is a long development period, and I just wrote much better ones in that time, which made it onto the album.
Mm. What have you done with all the ones that you've got rid of?
I've thrown them into the bin. No, the chances are that they'll resurface at some point.
Little bits of them, possibly, or you know, maybe a riff from one and something else from another one.
That often happens. Mm. You can often take a chorus and it just doesn't fit in with one song, and then you're writing another part to another song, and you go, we'll have that for there. So it is a long process sometimes of writing a song.
So how long have you guys been playing together then? Now
we've been playing together for 2 years in June as the Swifts.
Mm-hmm.
We had played our first gig at Moseley Folk Festival in 2010 and had the pleasure of having the live tracks broadcast just about 5 minutes after we'd left the stage on Radio 2. So that wasn't bad from first gig to Radio 2.
That's not bad going at all. Yeah. It must be great involved in a festival like that, though. It's another good way of testing your music, because I'd have thought a festival audience is going to be an honest one, because they haven't necessarily come to see you.
That's right. Although, funnily enough, on that morning, there were some people that had just come to see us and Erland and the Carnival, a group of about 20 students. It's often a challenge to go on first, just because people haven't had time to really get into the festival vibe. I think if you're playing much later on, people have had a few drinks, they're quite relaxed, they're well into it. So yeah, it can be a challenge going on first. But I believe that we pulled it off on that occasion.
Good stuff.
Very good.
I mean, when you're performing like that, do you use your experience from experimental theatre, which you studied, as part of the stage show? Are you dancing around with your guitar, or do you just sort of get on with it and play the music?
I think I do keep them separate. I mean, it would be quite bizarre if I kind of stopped halfway through and started entering into a freeform jazz
that
dance.
Could be quite
But
good.
You could do it the other way around, though. You could throw the music into some experimental theatre.
Well, I suppose this comes across in the videos. We've made a video for Valpolicella Girl, and that takes lots of my experiences and learnings from studying avant-garde theatre into making the visual side of it. For the last two videos, I've definitely utilised those in the creation of the videos.
And I presume you prefer the music side of things now, do you? Or would you go back to your theatre roots?
I'm a background actor in a BBC Two drama called Dancing on the Edge, which is due to be screened in May. So I've recently started to get back into dabbling in some background screen acting. But music is what I'm doing at the moment.
And I suppose with the tour coming up as well, it's difficult even getting extra work, I would have thought.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, they can sometimes just ring you literally 10 o'clock the night before and say, can you be in Selly Oak for 10 tomorrow? So sometimes it's working that tightly. But I've had to say that I'm unavailable for certain dates because, as you say, I'm off on tour for some dates in May.
Because you've got the single launch at the Mac in Brum, and that's on Sunday the 13th of May.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, really looking forward to doing that. We're playing 2 45-minute sets, so there'll be some numbers from me, lots of the songs from Festive Road, a couple of new ones that I've written, and some old favourites as well from previous albums.
And then you're sort of heading up and down the country a bit, Bristol, London, and Tanworth in Arden.
Tanworth in Arden. birthplace of Nick Drake, there's a new festival run by the Moseley folk guys called the Lunar Festival.
Yeah.
So there are people like Fionn Regan playing that. It's a really tiny festival. There are 500 people allowed on site. So it's going to be a very intimate as far as festivals go.
Mm-hmm. There'll still be a queue for the toilets, all right.
I don't know. They usually manage to cover it quite well. I think at the last what? Yeah, there's it was probably well covered with toilet facilities.
Okay, but not the most important.
That's a nice
thing.
End, though, isn't it? After all the bustle of
having a decent toilet.
No, I mean, what? Like having 500 people.
Oh right, oh, okay.
Like thousands. Yeah. It's like a nice relaxing end, isn't it?
It is. We're just saying. I mean, you could have. Yeah, you imagine there's so few people there that some people might end up actually getting married, that it'll be so intimate with that many people in the audience.
Oh dear. Right, now, we'll come back to the single, because Valpolicella Girl.
Yeah.
This is something to do with drinking wine on a summer's afternoon.
It is, yeah. I was visiting my brother at the time down in Bath, the fine spa city in the southwest of England. And I was locked out of the house, had a guitar in my hand, and this girl kind of sauntered over, and she said, "What are you up to?" And I said, "Oh, nothing much." So we popped over the road, got some bottles of wine, and then we started singing away, and that turned out to be the chorus to the song, and pretty much wrote the song there and then.
It's not very often you get accosted by a strange lady in the street, is it?
It might be for him.
Well, I was going to say it might
happens
be.
More than you might
really?
Expect.
It's the guitar, probably.
It sets them off. Although I think you were that one I saw in the background on that thing on BBC Two. Is that, maybe not. Well, there we go. Right, so we'll take a listen to the song then. We'll sit back and tune into this one. But before we do, give us all the website details so people can come along, buy the music, and can check out more and watch the video. Most importantly, I think.
Yeah, I've just posted that up today, so it's got a few views already. But if you go to bohemianjukebox.com, or if you go to bencalvert.com, and then you can take different branches of the internet tree from there.
But you can get it on iTunes as well, that sort of thing, so you can buy it in all good online record stores.
Yeah, and the single, of course, is also available on the CD album Festive Road, which is available directly from us at bandcamp.com.
And buy things in real life. I do like it. You actually put it in the car stereo and leave it to warp on the dashboard, that sort of thing.
That's the one.
Brilliant. Ben Calvert and the Swifts. Well, just Ben at the moment. But thank you for joining us, sir. It's been good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Now, let's take a listen to that brand new single. Hang on, you better stay in the line. I've got to try and say it now. Valpolicella Girl, is that right?
That's the one.
This is the tune.
Valpolicella, will you tell her in the afternoon? Valpolicella, 3-4 a tenner in the afternoon. Valpolicella, in the cellar, dusk by afternoon. Will you tell her you were riding her bike, or will you tell her you were on the strike, or will you tell her it's all over soon? Valpolicella, 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 Valpolicella. Will you tell her you were riding a bike, or will you tell her you were on the strike, or will you tell her it's all over soon? It's all over soon. Valpolicella, 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 Valpolicella girl.
I'll Polichella Girl. That is Ben Calvert, along with his Swifts. We didn't really ask much about the Swifts, did we?
No, we didn't ask who there was or we how should, many there was.
We should
or...
be more inquisitive, because we're a flock. It's meant to be a flock. Anyway, let's get back to the plot. Now, there's an upcoming artist showcase taking place in our city. It starts in May on Tuesday the 15th, organised by Wolverhampton's Adult Education Service. To tell us more, we have lead tutor Moya Lloyd. Hello.
Hello there.
How you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you.
You've got a busy few weeks, haven't you?
We have, yes. Yeah, very hectic. We've just been having some very busy discussions about the logistics of getting this exhibition together next week.
Now, it takes place in the City Learning Quarter, so which bit are we looking for there? Is it signposted?
Yeah, it's the foyer building where the exhibition is. And if you know where Sainsbury's is, Sainsbury's, that's the part of a church,
yes,
in the centre of Wolverhampton. You cross over the road and the foyer building is a new building you'll see in front of you, and we're there. You just walk straight in, we're in the reception area.
Is it the bit which is opposite the hairdressing bit of the college?
Oh, it's just kind of around the corner from
you
there.
You go through like a little alleyway bit, don't you?
You come through the tunnel and then you turn left, go along Old Hall Street, which is the pedestrianised bit, and then left again, and there we are.
I still haven't got a clue. I'm going to have to look on Google Maps.
No, if you wander down Old Hall Street,
it'll be fine from there, but there we are.
Yeah.
So tell us who's involved in this exhibition and how they get to have their work displayed as an up-and-coming artist.
Well, the seven artists taking part, and they're all taking part in our course called Creative Connections, which is professional artists who are setting up their own businesses. So they're all experienced artists, and the idea of the exhibition is to showcase what they do, to sell their work. A lot of the work's going to be for sale as well. So it's quite an exciting chance for them to present themselves, really.
To show what they can do.
Yeah.
Are they going to be like available, say, for example, if somebody sees a picture and they think, oh, they like the style of the artist and they want something to commission something like, I don't know, portrait of a wife or a dog or something like that. Is that what the exhibition's for, to get them extra work like that as well?
Yeah, that as well. They can both buy the work that they see, but many of the artists will be interested in working to commission as well. And it's a really diverse range of artists. So we've got people doing landscape, paintings, installation, photography and drawing, and jewellery as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's very, very
so it's not just, when you say artists, I suppose everybody automatically thinks it's going to be, you know, pen and ink or watercolour, but you forget that it incorporates different things.
Not at all. We're all very diverse. In fact, one of the artists is doing poetry as well. She's actually doing some poems that relate to the paintings that she's doing.
But they come from the course itself, and during that time that they've been on the Creative Connections course, they've been given weekly seminars, tutorials, visits by guest speakers. So I suppose from now, this is the point where they go from being student into fully fledged, you're an artist now, you've got to start coping with dealing with your public.
Yes, that's it, definitely. Yeah, I mean, they all come from a variety of backgrounds. So some of them have been up and running already and some of them are just starting. But we look at the different roles for artists. So although we're talking about selling the work, we're also talking about opportunities for artists to work in schools, in community arts work, and maybe public art commissions as well.
And I suppose from this sort of event, you get a chance to see how they're interacting. So maybe they'll still get a few pointers off the guys from the course.
Yeah, definitely. We have a big network because we've been running this course for a long time. So I tend to keep in touch with past artists from the course who sometimes come in and speak on the course. And we kind of network with each other. There's quite a lot of people now around Wolverhampton that have taken place in the course over the years.
And I suppose you find that people come along and see the exhibition, then maybe sign themselves up for the next time the course runs.
Definitely. If anyone likes the sound of the course, Monday, May the 14th, is our opening night. And anyone that's interested in the course or wants to come and see the work on display is welcome to come along then and have a chat with us and find out more.
They can see the work in full from Tuesday, May the 15th, until Friday the 25th of May. It's open 9 a.m. till 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 9 a.m. till 4:30 on Friday. So a good chance for people to be able to come down, whether it be after work, and see what's on, and maybe buy themselves something pretty to stick on the wall.
Yeah, and just to say our private view is the day before the official opening on the Tuesday, and that's 6 till 8 on Monday the 14th.
And if people want to get along to that one, do they have to be invited?
No, everybody's welcome. We call it a private view, but it's really open to everybody.
It's a public private view.
Yeah. Just that's what we call things in the art world.
Private view.
See, we're not artists. We don't know. We just talk at people for something to do. So, you know, we don't know what's really going on in the world where they've got gouache and stuff like that. So if people do want to find out more before they head down there, what's the website for Wolverhampton's Adult Education Service Creative Connections programme?
Oh, well, we've got a blog, and that's called creativeartconnections.blogspot.com. That's where you can find out more about us.
And how many of you are there? Because you're the Enter Arts lead tutor, so it sounds like you've got a plethora of people who are actually involved pretty much full-time with this course.
Well, I'm actually the main tutor. We have other specialists coming in now and again, speakers, but I'm the tutor that's kind of here all the time.
So you keep your beady eyes on them and make sure they're doing what they should be doing.
Yeah.
They get like a mark for how they perform during the week? Is it part of their end of course mark?
Not really a mark as such. I suppose the achievement is actually taking part in the exhibition, getting their work installed, producing, most of them produce new work for the exhibition. So because most of these artists are already graduates and very highly qualified, so it's more about the experience and the networking than actual getting a mark.
Okay.
But it's hopefully the truth will be in the way in which they actually come together and make a career in the industry.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. At the moment, social media is a big thing for artists and something that they're using to promote themselves, particularly Facebook and Twitter. So we've actually got a new course launching on the 22nd of May that's an artist guide to social media.
Well, that sounds very useful as well, because in some ways they can share a sample of their work because you can put pictures on all these things, but you've got to make sure you don't give too much away, I suppose.
Yeah, there are some copyright issues, and that's something we'll be covering on the course to kind of make sure that artists can understand those. Mm. But it's a six-week course taking place at Compton Grange on Tuesday afternoons.
And that
sounds quite useful.
Excited about it because it's brand new, and I don't think there's many courses that specialise in social media for artists.
No, it can be a bit daunting if you've never used a computer before, going on to and create your own web space. So,
And how do people get involved in that one? Do they get in touch first?
Yeah, they can get in touch with the Adult Education Service on 01902 558180.
And that's the same number to use if they want to maybe get involved in the next Creative Connections course, if they can't get along on the Monday night private viewing?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
When does the next Creative Connections course start?
That's going to start in September later this year, and it's going to be at Bilston Craft Gallery, again on Tuesday afternoons.
So make sure that those dates are in your diary if you can get along to that and you have that creative outlet that
flair.
You need. Flair, yes. Flair's a good word there, yes. And like your trousers. So it'd be worthwhile getting in touch and maybe following the blog spot and checking out to see whether the offerings of Wolverhampton's Adult Education Service are for you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you, yes.
Moya, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Okay, bye now.
Let's take our final tune from Ben Calvert and the Swifts. This one is Landing on My Feet Again.
Been landing on my head for so long, I'm landing on my feet again. It had me right down on my knees, landing on my feet again. Don't know what it's doing, but it is. I'm landing on my feet again. I don't know what's making me smile. I'm landing on my feet again. I knew it was coming for a while. Landing on my feet again. I don't know what it's doing, but it is. I'm landing on my feet again. Doctor couldn't do it.
my feet again. I can't see the wrongs for the rights, landing on my feet again. I'm sailing away with the clouds, landing on my feet again. I don't know what it's doing, but it is. I'm landing on my feet again. On my
landing on my feet again, and that, of course, is Ben Calvert and the Swifts.
And we go back to the telephone lines now because we have a man who's going to try and flog some 20th century football memorabilia. Probably not the nicest way of putting it, because it's actually Cuddleston's Wolverhampton's auction rooms and head auctioneer Tom Waldron who joins us. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I am good. So, tell us a little about the world of auctioneering in Wolverhampton, because I didn't even realise we had an auction house, if I'm completely honest with you.
Oh, Jason.
Well,
been
yeah, you're not the first to say that, actually.
You I see? Mean,
we've been there since end of last summer, really.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a place in Penkridge, which we've had for a few years, and we're just kind of branching out now into Wolverhampton, and we're starting to take off a little bit, which is good. So this upcoming sale should really boost us.
Well, first things first, though, have you been on Bargain Hunt or Flog It yet? I don't know how those things work.
No, we haven't, no. I mean, well, we've had Flog It at our Penkridge auction routes, but we haven't had it yet at Wolverhampton, but we're hoping to do so.
So can I just ask, can anybody bring anything to you and you'll put a value on it and say whether you want to put it in auction or not?
Well, yeah, but I mean, anyone can bring anything in.
Have you got something in the loft?
No, I was just thinking how it works. I mean, obviously, it's say, for example, if somebody brings something and you can see it's not worth anything, I presume you'll tell them it's not worth their time putting it into auction, or would you do it?
In the politest possible way, yes. we try to tell the people that yeah, their stuff isn't worth a lot. But no, most of the time, most of the stuff we get in is quite good. So when we've been allocated to various sales, which is good.
So how many sales do you actually have during a month period?
We have one a month currently, which is kind of like a general sale where you've got furniture, you've got a few antiques, mostly household stuff. And then we do a specialist collector's auction, which is four times a year. And we've got one coming up in a couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah, that's the 18th of May. That's your 20th century football memorabilia. And there is some Wolverhampton-related stuff in there, as well as some items from around the UK.
Yeah, there is, yeah. I mean, the Wolves stuff is obviously, you know, the most interesting, you know, given the provenance it's got in the area. So, you know, we've got some good football programmes in. We've got a football, which Billy Wright signed it back in 1939 and gave to a friend of his, which is signed by the team as well. You know, we've got all sorts, really, not just Wolves either. You know, we've got programmes from Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool. So it's a good spread. It's a really good spread.
And when these things come along, obviously you've got to have the provenance. You've got to have a letter of authenticity or maybe a photograph showing this being handed over by the person who's supposedly signed this sort of stuff.
I mean, not really in that case. I mean, the vendor who brought that in, there is provenance for vendors' uncles and aunties and whatnot to say that, you know, they were given the football. But I mean, if you were to just bring a programme in of some kind, you know, usually we accept the fact that it's yours and it's there to sell. Obviously, if it's a rhino horn that's gone missing from a local museum, obviously, then, you know...
You would notice that, yeah.
Well, the warning lights come on, yeah, but in most cases, it's fine, yeah.
If it's like signatures that you're looking at, I mean, some people's signatures are just unrecognisable, aren't they? So would you need something authentic to say that is that person's signature? Or would you have an expert?
Well, you can find, I mean, I think it's down with the internet, you can find examples of them online, you know. Okay. Whether that is actually a signature or whether it's a print, obviously that you have to look out for a few things there. But you know, the great thing, as I say, about the internet is you can reference everything nowadays, and you can see stuff that has gone up on sale all around the world. So, you know, you've got kind of a benchmark there for valuing certain things.
Yeah.
And when you're putting an auction together, how many lots will you have? Whether it be one of your specialist ones like this 20th Century Football one or one of your regular monthly auctions?
Well, at the monthly auctions, we work to about 300 to 400 lots at the moment. For the specialist collectors one, we go from about 100 to 600. It's not just football, it's all sorts. You've got military items, toys, all sorts of things. Like, as you said a minute ago, like signatures and memorabilia of that kind.
Mm.
It's a really interesting sale, actually, because it's totally different from one to the next.
What's the item that's gone for the most money in one of your auction houses, and how much did it go for?
Well, at our Penkridge auction house, we had a painting go for about just over 50,000. Mm. That was a few years ago now. But at Wolverhampton, we had a specialist sale, I think it was February, and we sold a whalebone, which had been carved by natives of the Falkland Islands, and that went for around about, I think it was 7.5 grand at the time. So that's been our best sale at Wolverhampton so far, that one.
And it must be quite exciting, though, being in an auction, because you've got to stay calm and just go with the flow, I suppose. But it must be quite a thrill when something you know is really hitting the top value.
Well, it's very exciting when, with the case of the whalebone, you know, you have no idea really what that could fetch. It really started to take. But it works in two ways. If something doesn't reach a value that you think it would, but so far, you know, we've seen very good sales. So all in all, you know, it's not happened to us that much at the moment. So I think this football stuff should sell really well, hopefully.
Well, I wish you luck for that sale of 20th Century Football memorabilia on the 18th of May. And now that's a Cuttlestones Wolverhampton auction rooms. So give us the full details of where you can be found and the website to check out the details of the merchandise.
Yeah, well, you can find us on our website at www.cuttlestones.co.uk. Or you can, we're actually located on Clarence Street, which is just off Waterloo Road, and we take goods in on a Monday and Tuesday. So if you've got something to sell, by all means, bring something along then and I'll take a look at it for you. But yeah, I mean,
I might pop along myself.
Well, you should do, you know, the valuations are free, we don't charge for them.
So how are you on stamps?
You've got some good stamps, have you, though, Aaron? Okay.
Well, I've got some that my nan gave me.
All right, okay. Old. Well, yes, if you want to bring them along, I'll see if I can get some value for you. But the sale itself, this one coming, we've actually got a general sale coming up 2 weeks on Wednesday, which I think is the 9th, and then the specialist collector sale, where you can find all the football memorabilia, will be, as I say, on the 18th of May.
And what time of day do these take place?
Well, it starts at 10 o'clock, and we have a viewing an hour before, so people can come around and have a look. We also have a viewing from 10 o'clock till 7 o'clock on the Thursday, the 17th of May. And so you can come along, take a look at everything, you know. And we keep going until 7 o'clock at night. So if people want to come after work, they're more than welcome to do so.
Tom Warren, thank you very much, and good luck with that sale coming up on the 18th of May.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So there we go, 150 out the way. That's our 150th episode. Yeah, I know, it flies by, doesn't it? But we're looking forward to the third birthday, which is going to be the big one, isn't it? Because you're organising a full star-studded experience for
I'm
that
trying.
One. Yeah.
Fingers crossed, Jason.
You never know. We'll see what happens. And get your Vogue on poetry written. Okay, so if you can...
Oh, do you know, I really might have a go at that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll have to refer back to the original to see how it might work out.
As we say, I presume we're not using proper words.
You can use proper words. You can use proper words. It's all translated with the Bible fish in your ear.
Oh, I see.
I'm really going to have to go over the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy with you again, aren't I? It's a bit of a nightmare, but there we go. Right, we shall clear off and see you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.